Today is Psalm 139, the inescapable God. Think on that word, inescapable, and what that means. It means that we worship a God who is everywhere all at once, who is everywhere that we are. And we also worship a God who knows us intimately, for whom we need wear not any mask whatsoever. And I'm not talking about them ones we've been wearing for the COVID. I'm talking about the masks that we put on ourselves so that we are likable or lovable, so that folks think we have our stuff together. Those masks we put on when we're around folk who are different from us. The masks that tell us that we're not worthy, that we're not lovable, that there's something about us that we need to hide. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden from our God about us. And that's okay. In fact, that is more than okay. So hear the word of the Lord for us today. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where, O God, can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. And my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were before me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them, and they are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Be to God, indeed. So we worship a God who knows us, who was there in the very beginning, who knitted us together. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no need for masks, no need at all for pretense, no need at all of pretending to be something that we are not. We are human, we are broken, we are sinners, we are flawed. Yesterday, while at the women's retreat in Traveler's Rest up at Lookup Lodge,
We talked about drawing closer to God. In wrestling with my own imperfections, I noticed a shell. I don't know what kind it was, but it's from a tree. And it was broken in half. Somewhere along the way, the seed had come out. Maybe taken somewhere and planted in the dirt. You see, until that shell was broken, the goodness in it couldn't come out, could it? Sometimes we go through things in life not at the pleasure of the Lord, but because we live in a broken world. Because we live in a world that is flawed. A world that is flawed because of us. Because we chose to know good and evil. We had an opportunity to know just the goodness of the world. In the very, very beginning, we had the option. We were told, you can partake of anything, all the goodness around you, but this one tree. This one tree. To partake of that tree would open our eyes and we would know good and evil. So now we know both sides of the coin. Now we know. But as Esteban is going to share with you, we are not left alone in that knowing. We are not left alone to face our own brokenness by ourselves. We are not left alone in the midst of others' brokenness. As I've said to the other two churches, Thornwell Home for Children exists because we live in a broken world. It exists simply because the folks there know that there are children who have been at the hands of those who were deeply broken. And they try to help put those children back together with love, with safety, consistency, reliability, and skills that they are going to need for themselves. If we lived in a perfect world, there would be no need of them. And some people say, but why does God let this happen? I say, have you forgotten the cross? Have you forgotten the cross? Let us think about the cross. Right? It's beautiful as a symbol. And sometimes because we see it as a symbol, we forget what it started out as. Esteban. So let us listen for what that looks like.
Morning. Most of y'all know me. I'm Esteban Gutierrez. And Charmaine asked me to speak part of my testimony. The reason you don't get the full one is because it's so long, okay? We need a 6 weeks of sermons and probably Wednesday nights, Sunday nights and everything, okay? So you're just going to get a portion of it. And I shared Thursday at Todd, and I talked a little bit about my childhood and our perception with God and how we perceive God has a lot to do. When we talk about an omnipresent God or a God that is everywhere, how we perceive God plays a big factor into that. So today I'm going to transition a little bit into my adult life as part of my testimony, and also we're going to focus more on our attitude of God, okay? Because that I believe that plays a big part in how we can look at an omnipresent God or a God that is everywhere. So before I start, I got a question for y'all, Okay, just need a few of y'all to answer. What did you have for breakfast? Okay, so anyone feel free to. You can blurt out. We don't need his hands. Anybody?
Cream of tomato soup.
Cream of tomato soup, okay. Blair, what did you have? You had some muffins, yeah. Stella? Chocolate croissant. Chocolate croissant, okay. Yeah, we're going over there tomorrow. okay, so we all have different things. Okay, think about what you had for breakfast. Now I'm going to ask you this question. Did you ask a blessing over it? Yeah, I mean, we're in church. We're going to say yes. Sometimes we forget, okay? Do you think that God blessed that food? Yeah? What if God gave you nothing? Do you think that you still got God's blessing at that point? You think he still blessed you in the nourishment of your life at that point? Okay, so just think about that as we talk about the attitude, and I share a little bit of my story with you, okay? Because a lot of us, we got different things going on for breakfast, but God still does the same thing. God still blesses us, right? God still loved us enough to give us, whether it be a muffin, a chocolate croissant, some soup, whatever God provided to us, he still loved us enough for that. So a little bit of my life, my adult life, I served 8.5 years in the United States Army as an infantryman, and I had a great time. I attended many schools. I saw many parts of the world. I was able to go to Afghanistan twice and come somewhat intact physically. You know, I might struggle with some mental things. But while I was in the Army, I was able to fast track, you know, rank up really quick. I was able to be the top of my classes, of my NCO classes. I was able to lead soldiers. I was able to teach them. I was able to do things that just were just, I was a rock star, right? And during this time in my life, my attitude towards God was, God's giving it to me. He's blessing me everywhere that I step. I met my wife. We got married. I had my first son, Blair. I didn't have a complaint in the world. I felt like God was just pouring his blessings upon me. And my attitude towards God in this point in my life was great, right? God was just giving it to me. And then all of a sudden one day, I fall out of a helicopter and it all stops. I fall out of a helicopter and after a couple surgeries later, the Army decides they don't need me. I shortly after that find a job in the city of Nashville, Tennessee at a Kwanzaa Military Academy. I was like, okay, it can be kind of close to the military life. It was for at-risk and troubled youth, bringing them up in almost like a boot camp setting. It was like their second chance right before they go to jail, these troubled youth. So I start this job, but I didn't feel like I was getting the blessings of God like when I was in the military. My wheels were kind of spinning, if you will. It wasn't the job that I wanted, you know. And it ended up not working out. I ended up having to leave that job pretty early. So then my attitude after having to leave that job towards God changed yet again. Here I am now with a family. Not only am I not in the career that I wanted, I'm not in the career that was kind of close to it, but I still felt like I was spinning wheels. But now I don't even know where I'm going in with my life. Anxiety sets in, depression, because I feel like I'm not the man that I used to be. I may not be the man that my family needs me to be. I may not be the man that God needs me to be or wants me to be. And I slip into depression. And I'm very down, very low. And let me tell you, my attitude towards God at that point in my life wasn't the best. My heart was hardened towards him. I felt like, I've done all of this, God. Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through these struggles? Why is this? Where are you, God? Are you even here with me? Right? But it was just my perception. Let me tell you, God is with us no matter where we're at in life, what we're doing, the highs, the lows, if we're up on the mountains. If we read in this scripture that Preacher Charmaine read, verse 11, it says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you." Even when we're in darkness of our life, and it surrounds us, it will not be dark to the Lord. He's still there with us. I want you to imagine that we have a block of ice, right? And we get us a group of 6 or 7 year olds. And I say 6 or 7 because I have 6 and 7 year olds. So we take them outside and we put this block of ice into the sun. Somebody tell me, what's it going to do? What is that block of ice going to do? It's going to melt. Yes, it's going to melt. And so what is that 6 or 7 year old going to think? The sun melts things. Now let's take another group of 6 or 7 year olds and let's give them a block of clay. Let's take them outside, put the block of clay in front of the sun. And what's that going to do over time? It's going to harden. Did the sun do anything different to the ice or the clay? No. It did the exact same thing. Same thing with God. He doesn't do anything different to me or you, and he doesn't do anything different in the times of our lives. He's doing the same thing. He's given us the same blessings. He's given us the same love. He's saving us every day. No matter where we find ourselves, our perception is going to play a big key in how we have an attitude towards God. Are you going to have a heart that melts for God? Or are you going to have a heart that gets hard and you have friction against God? Because God's doing the same thing in your life no matter where you find yourself. Whether you have that rock star job, you're up on the mountain in your life, your home life's just going great, everything. Or you're suffering with something, an illness, depression. You're in the low, you're in the darkness. God is still doing the same thing. An omnipresent God doesn't just mean he's everywhere within a building, but he's everywhere within our life. An omnipresent God means that he walks with us every step of the way. And so I appreciate y'all taking the time and listening to just a portion of my testimony, listening to a portion of what God's done in my life. I'd like to tell you right now that I'm at a point in my life where I can understand that and I can know that. I can just have a bad day just to have a bad day, but that doesn't mean that God isn't with me. Things could be going wrong during that day, that week, that month, whatever it might be, but God is still right there with me. He's everywhere. He's never going to leave me. Or I could be having a great day, and God, I feel the blessings. I can see them. They're just right there in front of me. I can count them because most of them are sitting on that pew right there, and God is right there with me. So thank y'all for listening to part of my testimony and part of how God has impacted my life.
Indeed, God is everywhere. God is everywhere, and we need to remember the cross and what that means. It's not a piece of jewelry. I mean, obviously it is in this case, but we've forgotten what that means. The image Jesus left with the world, the cross, is the most common image in the Christian religion. It is proof that God cares about our suffering and our pain, and he died of that suffering and pain. Today, the image is coated with gold and worn around the necks of girls, women, sometimes of men, but it stands unique among all religions in the world. Only one religion has a God who cared enough to become a man and to die. For whatever reason, God chose to make man as he is, limited and suffering and subject to sorrows and death. He had the honesty and courage to take his own medicine. Whatever game he is playing with creation, he has kept his own rules and played fair. He can exact nothing from man that he has not exacted himself. He has himself gone through the whole human experience, from trivial irritations of family life. I don't know if y'all deal with any of that. I do. The cramping of restrictions of hard work, lack of money, to the worst horrors of pain and humiliation, defeat, despair, and death. When he was a man, he played a man. He got tired, exhausted from a day's work, frustrated with people around him. Irritated sometimes with family when they rejected him. He was born into poverty and died in disgrace and thought it all worthwhile. To some, the image of a pale body glimmering on a dark night on a cross whispers of defeat. What good is a God who does not control his son's suffering? What possible good could such a God do for us? But a louder sound can be heard. The shout of a God crying out to us, "I love you." That's it. He has known everything that we know. No suffering, no pain, no trauma, no rejection that we have known, he has not also known. He has known it all. He knows every step that Esteban has taken, every step that he has taken together with his family and now with his children as well. He knows every step that we are going to take, and he took them too. The only faith in the world that can claim that truth, that we worship a God who knows us intimately, took on all of it for us to say one simple thing: I love you. I love you. That's the whole scripture. Every bit of it. It's not about condemnation. Conviction, maybe. Not condemnation. Two different words. He came to tell us, I love you. Amen.